It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
If I had $1 million, I'd buy you love.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Thursday, June 8th, 2023. And Steve Latosky, you probably think I'm playing that song in your honor, right, for the $1 million grant?
Well put, Paul.
It just occurred to me when the song started. That's actually the intro music for Brian Springberg with Sound Advice, normally at this time on Thursdays. And Brian is in the second week of a respite from the show. So Brian will be back next week, I'm told, for the entire hour. And we'll have Sound Advice, of course, advice on the stock market and your investments and that sort of thing with Brian Springberg from Springberg Wealth Management. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. Mojave County Public Works Director Steve Latosky is my guest. One of my favorite guests, by the way. I've been bragging you up for like the past week or so, praying that you were going to come in and not call in. So welcome to Havasu. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much, Paul, for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
You were telling me you almost moved to Havasu at one time, but you do live in Kingman now.
I do. I certainly enjoy the Havasu area, and always like to bring guests and company down here. It's a fantastic time for any visitor.
Right, right. I need to mention on our sports station, and you're a big sports fan,
yes,
by the way.
Yes.
Do you like the Snakes or what?
They're having a great season. They're hanging in there.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Doing a great job. The other day, the Diamondbacks were down. They gave up a grand slam in the first inning. Mm. I don't know if you listened to the games on KNTR Sports,
yes,
or not. And they came back and won that game 10-5.
Yes.
This is
so
one
resilient.
Of those rare teams that, faced with adversity, they will fight till the end.
And they're so deep.
Right.
That's the key. They're so deep that you just don't know who's going to step up, but somebody does.
Right.
Game in and game out.
I like the Serpientes jerseys, too.
Me too.
I love that. But anyway, to get to the point, today's game against the Nationals in Washington, D.C. has been postponed until June 22nd. And that'll be a morning game as well. That game was supposed to be, the first pitch was supposed to be at 10:05 or 10:10. And there's too much smoke, mm-hmm, from the Canadian wildfires. So anyway, that game is postponed. The D-backs will return to action tomorrow from Detroit. And hopefully, right? From what I understand, there might be wildfires. Detroit's right across the border from Canada, isn't
exactly,
it?
And it's just really where the jet stream's taking the
right.
smoke right now.
Right,
so
right, right.
Anybody's guess.
So the D-backs and the Tigers, hopefully that'll be a three-game sweep. Yeah, probably just jinxed them.
Should be.
tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. Yeah, they played Atlanta really, really tough. So
absolutely.
I was very pleased with that, and they were going for the sweep today against the Nationals. So anyway, D-backs baseball will return tomorrow on 94.3, 100.5, 980 a.m., the complete schedule is at KNTRSports.com. So there you have it. First it's the Tigers, then on Mondays they start a series with the Phillies, and that one is at home. So there you have it. We'll probably have tickets for next weekend's series. I think they play the Giants. I'm not sure. I'll have to look at that. All right, so our phone lines are open, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, and that $1 million from the Bare Naked Ladies, you could easily apply that to the Attain grant, which was the big news. You know, the director actually wrote the grant. This is a fascinating grant, folks. You're going to need to glue yourselves to the radio because I didn't even know some of this technology that we're going to talk about existed. Tell us what the Attain grant is and what Attain stands for.
Exactly. Well, Attain stands for Advanced Transportation Technology and Innovation, and it was a new program that was rolled out by the Federal Highway Administration just recently. And what they did is they made $60 million available to what I believe only 10 recipients could receive the funds, and it was a competitive grant process that was awarded by a discretionary basis. And so we saw an inherent need for this technology as it relates to traffic safety in the rural areas of Mojave County, namely the high-speed county rural highways that could benefit from these communication systems. And what they are is, for our listeners, if they can envision what the blind spot system, warning system is on newer vehicles mm-hmm. nowadays, it's the same type of communication. In the blind spot warning system, here it's your vehicle communicating with other vehicles and detecting that there's other vehicles in the area present. Well, this particular technology, it's going to be involving roadside communication equipment that will be installed in certain spot locations that will assist with certain traffic movements. For example, we're going to target assisting drivers at stop signs. So when they're at a stop sign, I'll use an example. If people know, say, Stockton Hill Road at Pierce Ferry Road, it's a stop-controlled approach on Stockton Hill, but you have a lot of tourist traffic in that area on Pierce Ferry Road as well as Stockton Hill. And what this particular technology can do in the newer vehicles, mind you, is that it can communicate when a vehicle is at a stop sign in the vehicle that there's oncoming traffic present and kind of communicate to the driver whether or not there's enough gap for the vehicle to safely pull out into the traffic stream. We're also going to try to target this communications technology at curves on high-speed county highways where the communications equipment will communicate to the vehicle approaching the characteristics of the curve, and the vehicle itself will digest that information and warn the driver if the driver is approaching the curve at too high of a speed. See, we have a prominent problem with roadway departure crashes in Mojave County. They account for the majority of the crashes that actually happen. Single vehicle run off the road. So what we're aiming to do with this technology is, I do know it only applies largely to emerging vehicles, but about 90% of the vehicles sold on the market nowadays have this type of technology. And even if it only applies to a smaller percentage of vehicles at stop signs or approaching curves, we're still attacking the traffic safety element and making our county highways safe. Sometimes it's all about protecting the other person. So when you're driving on the roadways, you're always worried about the other driver. Well, if the other driver has this technology enabled in their vehicle and can benefit from it, then that's a means by which we're making the roads safer in general.
So let me throw a hypothetical out there. Just north of the Topak Marsh, okay, as you're heading into Golden Shores.
Yes.
There's, I don't know, maybe 2-3 miles from Golden Shores, there's a blind hill.
Yes, yes, I know that.
Is
yes.
that one of those situations that would benefit from, I mean, you literally don't see the traffic until you crest that hill.
Right, right. Absolutely. It can be applied to that particular application, to a vertical curve. We may particularly target more the horizontal, the sharper horizontal curves, because
okay.
that's one where on a vertical curve, for largely a driver will drive straight, and even if they're distracted a little bit, can kind of still keep their vehicle on the road. But it's those sharper horizontal curves where if you're not paying attention, and a lot of people, I always say, and this is nothing negative against our visitors or those that drive roads that aren't quite familiar with them, but there's an issue that I've always found. I've kind of coined the term for it. It's called the driver psyche, type phenomenon, where the driver psyche refers to drivers not entirely focused on the driving task. you know, Paul, I know you like music. I know you like going to concerts, for example. You like going to sporting events. You know, I think you can agree, just like I can say, if I was going to a concert or a sporting event that I'm really looking forward to, I got my friends in the car and all that, you know, we're totally fine. You know, we're totally, you know.
Your eyes are on the road, just fine.
We're paying attention to the road, but we're talking to each other. Mm-hmm. We got the music playing. We're not necessarily totally focus on the driving experience. We're not maybe paying attention to all them signs, etc. But this type of communication technology, when it's in-vehicle warning, etc., it's going to capture drivers' attention, and they're going to, you know, take the responsive actions that they need to keep their vehicle on the road.
Okay, now, so, grant writer to grant writer. Like, I'm going to put my grant writer hat on from, you know, back in, I wouldn't say back in the day, but recently. There has to be some sort of education in your mind about this topic before you embark on writing this grant.
Absolutely.
I mean, there is all the research in the world out there, but how did you know this technology existed?
Well, believe it or not, and this is a credit to the county, our Board of Supervisors, our county manager, Sam Elters, is incredibly supportive of Public Works and the staff. I am actively involved in a number of prominent transportation organizations, namely the Institute of Traffic Engineers, which is the preeminent professional organization for transportation and traffic engineering. I'm actually the chair of the National Rural Intelligent Transportation Systems Committee.
Wow.
I have the great pleasure on a national level to interact with professionals, you know, my counterparts in other states, other counties, and I learn a lot from them. You know, they learn a little bit from me, I learn a lot from them, and it's that knowledge and that professional, you know, technical sharing it goes a long way towards helping Mojave County learn a little bit more about how we can improve you know, our maintenance and operation of county highways.
Steve, again, we're talking with Steve Latosky. He's the Mojave County Director of Public Works. How much of your passion is in traffic engineering? Have you done that in the past?
Oh, Paul, that is my background. I'm a civil engineer by degree, but my niche, my specialty is transportation traffic engineering. I've pretty much done it since coming out of college. In fact, I got a master's from Purdue, and that focus was in traffic engineering and freeway operations. So that's my specialty, and yeah.
Let's look at the grant award itself, the million
yes.
dollars. Has the county received it? I don't remember seeing anything on any of the agendas,
right.
But maybe I wasn't looking close enough. Number two, what's the timeline for implementing this system, and where? What are the locations that you're looking at the most?
Great question. We will actually be interacting with the Federal Highway Administration on a formal agreement that we will bring to our Board of Supervisors at a future time to just memorialize how much funding will be coming to the county and what that funding will be for. It'll be just as I described it earlier. The time frame for delivery is still to be determined, but I would expect that we would have a design process. So I'd probably be looking at about 9 months or so for a design process, and then hopefully rolling out that technology and actually implementing it in the field, you know, probably the second half of next year or so.
So, okay, are drivers going to know? How are they? I mean, obviously, they know when they have the blind spot detection system option in their vehicle, right? Are drivers going to know? How are they going to know that this is the car going to talk to them and say, approaching stop sign, approaching traffic, approaching this? How does that work?
Actually, Paul, I'm looking forward to you know, driving or at least riding in one of these vehicles.
I bet you
are going to have this type of technology.
Right.
And yeah, that's actually, it's going to be through an in-vehicle warning, almost like the blind spot warning, you know, type system. But in the field, drivers largely are not even going to know it's there. The roadside communication device will largely be an inconspicuous spot, and you know, it won't be quite as visible as, say, drivers who drive through the city traffic signals here in Havasu, where they see maybe that video camera up on the top. Well, that's actually a vehicle detection camera instead of the old inductive loops that are in the pavement. So it may not be quite as obvious to drivers, but their vehicle will always be, you know, trying to sense, and if they have that communication signal, it will pick it up and and alert the driver to the vehicle.
This may sound like a silly question, but what about our climate? Will that have any adverse effect on this type of equipment?
Not necessarily. No, they build it for very rigorous conditions. These types of traffic control devices are tested just like automotive vehicles, et cetera, tested for extremes. It's the same question can be flipped asking somebody up in Minnesota, you know, how does it withstand a Minnesota winter? So right. It goes both extremes.
I listen to the Under the Hood show, and it's produced in that area of the country, and some of the stuff that they talk about, I'm like, really? You have to do that to your car before you drive it? So anyway, we're talking to Steve Latosky. He's the Mojave County Public Works Director, and we're going to come back with, we got a lot more topics to talk about besides what you might want to talk about. Give us a call, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. If you like the music, blame it on Steve, right?
That's right.
Little Guns N' Roses, that work for you?
Absolutely.
He's an 80s rock kind of guy. Well, 80s, 90s, Rush, Boston, Van Halen, even GNR, right?
That's right.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Love it when my guests ask for Van Halen. Good choice, Steve. Perfect choice. Even Brian would agree. Brian Springberg, the Sound Advice. And again, Brian will be back next week with Sound Advice. And looking forward to that. But in the meantime, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. GDK LLC. I just sit here and listen to music all morning. How's that sound?
Well, that or this is about as exciting as engineering talk can be.
Exactly. Got to spice it up a little.
That's right.
All right. Springberg Wealth Management, also Patio Paradise, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology at lesolson.com/Kingman, and by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and great music with live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere overlooking the London Bridge. It's The Chair. Great place for lunch, by the way, if you're
Definitely.
Looking after the show.
Absolutely.
All right. And don't forget, we stream live and our archives are at kntrtalk.com. And if you're looking to listen on your Alexa device, just say, Alexa, tune to KNTR Talk on TuneIn. That's it. I had to remember exactly how I said it. But normally you could just say, Alexa, tune to KNTR Talk. So I'm told from one of our regular listeners when I say that part in the show, he has to turn his radio down or his Alexa goes off. So it's kind of funny. All right, again, our guest, Steve Latosky. He's the Mojave County Public Works Director. And I want to talk about the road projects that are going on, especially that Antares Bridge. I get a lot of warnings via email for, is it Antares Road?
Yes.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that warning system in a moment or later on in the show. But tell me about the road projects that are going on right now.
Oh, there's quite a few, Paul. And, you know, if I may, I have to give a lot of credit to our public works staff. It's not just me that makes these grants happen. You know, we've almost approached now $15 million worth of federal funds that we've garnered for roadway improvements over the last 8 years, one of which is another discretionary grant. It was about $450,000 in federal accelerated innovation deployment grant money for the construction of a composite arch bridge system on Antares Road over Truxton Wash. Truxton Wash is a regularly flowing wash. It often causes closure of Antares Road, which connects on up to Pierce Ferry Road from State Route 66 down the Hackberry area.
Oh, yeah,
and so it is a important link for those that don't want to go the very circuitous route over the Stockton Hill Road. But we're doing what's called this CABS bridge, a composite arch bridge system. Others coin they also call it the bridge in the backpack, but it's an East Coast technology.
bridge in a backpack.
Bridge in a backpack.
What does that mean?
What it is it's composite arch tubes that form the superstructure of the bridge, and they're brought in largely from off-site. So it's a lightweight material, lightweight relatively speaking, that can be easily transported to remote sites such as this and very quickly erected, at least a superstructure. And then it follows the traditional foundational piers as well as bridge deck. That all looks as traditional bridges do, but it's that superstructure of the composite arch bridge system that stands out. We actually got $450,000 of competitive federal monies for the bridge construction, and the actual cab's structure is coming in next week. So the construction is underway, and it'll largely be completed here in the next month or so.
So, wow, there's a lot to unpack with that answer. Is that something that may have been developed by the military? It sounds like something that's really portable.
Absolutely. It was actually University of Maine that developed it, and they spun off a private company that actually still holds a proprietary technology for that particular product.
I got you. Let's talk about Mountain View Road.
Yes,
you were
yes.
telling me this is fascinating, folks. If you're in the Bullhead City, the District 2 area,
right.
Hilde Angus's district, mm-hmm. this is a fascinating project.
This is a huge project for a first continuous paved road from Bullhead City on south to Boundary Cone Road. That's quite a distance through the Fort Mojave area. It's really the first alternate route to State Route 95, where we're completing the last three-quarters of a mile between Aztec and Camp Mojave Road, then there's a shorter segment between Sterling and Gardner Avenue. And that particular segment is so important in that area because State Route 95, Paul, carries about 40,000 vehicles per day. 40,000 vehicles per day without a viable direct alternate route. So it's going to be a huge benefit for the flow of traffic,
sure.
traffic mobility, as well as some reliability. So if I'm going to work in the Fort Mojave area going up the Bullhead and there's a crash on Highway 95, I got a legitimate alternate route, an efficient one to take in the future.
Before Supervisor Angus was elected, Supervisor Sockwell was in that seat, obviously.
Yes.
And not that exact seat. There were only three supervisors at
Correct.
The time. And there was talk of Vanderslice connecting to the parkway
yes.
all the way to Courtright. Is there been any advancement on that, or is that a little tough because of the residential areas that are along Vanderslice and some of that roadway?
Yes, Paul, we laid out the design concept report and alignment for Vanderslice Road in the late 2000s, and we intentionally steered it away from the residential, but it's largely the high dollar cost of building that roadway. And I have personally tried to seek some federal funding, have applied for some grants.
Sure.
You can't win them all, and this would have taken a more monumental type grant award, and we have not been successful. We're still trying, and the county has had it on our five-year capital plan just as a placeholder to kind of show our interest in pursuing such an alternate route. But Mountain View definitely will not only fill the mobility and the reliability needs in case there's a breakdown on Highway 95, but it'll also provide, being at just a mile east of State Route 95, more direct penetration into the dense neighborhood areas that may provide a convenience for residents who would be better served by just taking Mountain View Road.
Were there any tribal concerns in that area? Land-wise, was there any routing through tribal land, or what did that...
Right.
I know in some parts of the county in that area,
yes.
it's a big checkerboard.
Exactly.
Right.
This will be largely north of the Fort Mojave Indian Tribe Reservation. So this is actually, it was just entailed some state lands right-of-way and private right-of-way acquisition.
Okay. Is that tough to negotiate state lands-wise? And was BLM involved too?
No, I didn't include any federal lands. State lands is actually almost like a private property owner, where there's a formal process by which to apply. And then what happens is state lands, if they concur, which they did, they actually make the requests available through public auction. So it's actually an auction process, but they make us aware, and then it's valued at a fair market valuation.
Yeah, there's a story in the Herald this morning about a public lands auction that's coming up on the island
okay.
here in Havasu. 88 acres, I believe it was. So quite a large section on the island.
Very good.
All right, a little Unskinny Bop from Poison. We're going to take our second break of the hour. We're with Steve Latosky. He's the Mojave County Public Works Director. We've got whole lots to talk about when we come back. And you're okay with Poison, right?
Definitely.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. You have almost as good a taste in music as me.
I know.
And you knew who George Lynch was, the lead guitar player.
That's
Do you know the whole band?
Well.
I know. I know Don Dokken and George
Lynch. I know Don Dokken,
Right. Little Dokken breaking the chains. And we're with Steve Latosky. He is the Mojave County Public Works Director. And, man, now I'm really going to have to remember your genre.
That's right.
There's only two people, two guests that have the same taste in music, and you're one of them. So, all right, Speak Out, brought to you in part by Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, the Lewis Team, Remax by The Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, by Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006. Also featuring self-service doggy washes. And by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 52 years. You know what that means, Steve? It means they're older than the London Bridge. Think about that. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And don't forget, it's all about shopping local, spending local, eating local, and playing local. Because if you don't do that, local doesn't exist.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
All right. We talked about road projects and that, and Mountain View Road. It's so fascinating. But there's a widening project right here in the Havasu area that you're overseeing right now.
Yes. We just recently received a little over $500,000 for a important road widening project on Blue Canyon and Gold Springs Road in the Horizon 6, Donkey Acres area.
Sure.
That is in the unincorporated area of Mojave County. We worked through the Lake Havasu Metropolitan Planning Organization. So, you know, we partner and collaborate with our friends at Lake Havasu City, and we're able to access through a competitive state process some strategic highway safety program funds for that important widening. For those that have been out in Horizon 6, there are a lot of vertical curves, if you will, and what I saw there, and sometimes, you know, when you go after these, you know, and this is kind of a quasi-grant type of funding allocation, you have to be out there. You have to spend some time. So, you know, I'm walking the area, et cetera. I see a lot of folks, especially in the early morning, they're out for a jog, or there's a lot of equestrian activity, persons walking their dogs, and if you have some traffic, even if they're traveling 25 miles an hour or so, kind of negotiating those vertical curves, they don't see on the other side, you know, folks, you know, walking and everything, and so we saw the need, and you know, put you know, the effort into trying to secure those funds, and gosh darn, we were successful.
Doesn't that create another problem, though, when you widen a road? Do people automatically think the speed limit goes up?
It could invite some speeding. What we're going to do is make sure that we have a center line and edge lines, and target keeping that those roadway lanes you know, as narrow as possible without, you know, creating any issues with the flow of traffic. So
how much do those speed control devices actually help? I know you probably, you're like a walking statistic,
right,
by the way. You know a lot of that. But those signs you come up on that say, you know, your speed limit is 65, you're doing 70.
Right.
Or, you know, mostly they say speed limit 45, but, you know,
right,
you're over that. They're mostly for the lower speed limit streets. Mm-hmm. How much do those really help?
I'll answer that, because we've been at the forefront of implementing those type. They're called driver feedback speed limit signs, and Well, we found Paul, and you can kind of take this to the bank, is they work quite effectively in areas with a lot of visitor traffic. A lot of folks from out of town, they actually pay attention to those signs. They think there may be a law enforcement presence because they don't know. They don't drive through that area. Where we haven't seen those as effective, you kind of talked about that Topaz corridor, a lot of commuter traffic between Havasu and Bullhead. Nothing against the commuters, but we've placed similar signs in that area, and we have not seen them be that effective. So, again, how do we know that they're effective? We actually do speed counts. So we collect speed data before and after implementation. Up on Pierce Ferry Road, where we get a lot of visitor traffic to the Grand Canyon West, we actually saw a 14% reduction in traffic speed approaching those signs. So they're effective in areas where you have a lot of tourists, not quite so much for commuters, and that's not a Mojave County issue. That's more of a nationwide issue. Our findings kind of correlate with what's seen nationwide. So
I laugh because I've been stopped on that road before, you know, that Topaz corridor that you're talking about. You just get so used to, I think the speed limit is 35 on some of that.
Yes,
very slow.
As you go to the Golden Shores.
But anyway, I digress. I recently took the Seligman to Kingman route, which thankfully was striped fairly well in some areas, at least in Mojave County. And right now that's pretty important with vehicles when you have lane assist, right?
Yes, absolutely. That type of technology, which kind of depends upon scanning devices, I think they call it LIDAR type scanning, needs those pavement markings to be of a certain retroreflectivity and width as well. And that's another thing. Mojave County actually adopted, I made sure we did this about 3-4 years ago. We're going to a 6-inch wide traffic stripe now for our center line and edge lines. They're much more easily and reliably detected by those vehicle scanning devices that kind of help with that in-lane type of function that the newer vehicles have.
Right.
So the 4-inch lines, the old traditional stripes were 4 inches, but we went to 6 because that's what the technology is demanding.
Well, that lane assist is a real lifesaver, I'll
absolutely.
Tell you, especially when it's late at night.
Definitely.
So let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
All right, Paulie.
Hey, Alexa, how are you?
Oh, stop it. a couple things. First of all, that Topaz corridor there going to the Mojave Valley area, that's nobody goes the speed limit on that. I was up there earlier this week. I was going 45, and somebody shot by me. Must have been going 70.
I was not.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, my other question is, right on my street right now, there is one of those portable signs that tell you how fast you're going. Is that any indication that perhaps they're looking at changing the speed limit?
Oh, that's a good question. It's a portable one, though.
Yeah.
Right. Great question. Generally, when we do look at any instances of a particular road necessitating at least an evaluation of the speed limit, we actually do so through less intrusive speed measurement devices. We either use traffic tubes or we do have some radar devices that are roadside mounted. So we would not use necessarily the portable signs. That's more for a speed enforcement type of a reminder. That probably signifies, sir, that the posted speed limit is pretty much going to stay in effect as posted, but there may be some instances of higher speeds in the area, and either local law enforcement or we've even adopted a few of these feedback type signs just to try to use a reminder to motorists to make sure they keep to the posted speed limit.
Yeah, so, my speed limit on my street is 25, and it's totally ridiculous.
Gotcha.
And nobody pays any attention to it.
Yeah, you're talking about the city now, correct?
Yeah.
Right. Because Steve is county.
Yeah,
so.
I get that. I know.
Yeah, right. Did you have anything else, Jack?
No, that was it, Paul. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Bye.
I'll try to keep the A word down so his devices don't totally drive him bonkers. So anyway, again, we're talking to Mojave County Public Works Director Steve Latosky. If you want to participate, make this talk radio, not just listen radio. It's 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And all that talk about striping and widening the stripes, I've noticed you guys have done a heck of a job there on that Topaz corridor, as you call it, that Route 1.
Right.
What about the rumble strips in the middle of the road?
Yes.
How difficult, what is that process? How do you create that? Because there's not a lot of places that I've driven, and I drive a lot, mm-hmm. that I see rumble strips on the center strip, on
right,
the center
right,
line.
Right. And it's all about the keeping vehicles in lane, whether it's the keeping vehicles from going off the roadway, and most importantly, though, from encroaching on the center line and risking a head-on or at least a sideswipe crash. Rumble strip installation is done generally through a contract work. There's a special equipment that actually grinds, every interval maybe an inch or two into the pavement to create that rumble effect. Paul, it's really probably the highest benefit cost type of traffic safety countermeasure you can do. It's a fairly inexpensive process. You get a lot of miles done for a relatively low cost, but the dollar value associated with the benefit, meaning reduced crashes,
sure.
is substantial. So we're rolling out some more rumble strip installations on the Boundary Cone and Oatman Highway. We're also doing some installations coming up. This will be probably in the fall, where we're going to, on certain curves, we're going to install some additional, what they're called as LED lit raised pavement markers.
Ooh.
So right in the curve itself, so it kind of delineates with lights that curve alignment, so that we can mitigate some instances of dusk and overnight
sure.
crashes.
Wow, fascinating. That is, but does the installation of those rumble strips, the grinding
yes.
of that, does that compromise the asphalt at all?
Great question. No, the asphalt stays resilient and actually can even accommodate a chip seal treatment, in the future. No, it doesn't really affect the integrity of the asphalt.
So speaking of chip seal, you've got a big program countywide
yes.
that's chip sealing that you wanted to talk about.
Absolutely. Every year, usually in the spring, and we're just wrapping up this past spring's work, we aim to accomplish about 75 to 80 miles of chip seal work every year, and our crews are really the best at what they do in carrying this out. We equip them with modern equipment to perform all aspects of the chip seal operation. That's laying down the chips, the asphalt emulsion, as well as the rollers and that put the application in place. It actually achieves about 7 to 10 years service life extension on our paved roadways. See, the county maintains over 800 miles of paved roads, just paved roads, countywide. So what we do is we try to use this as a means of providing a preventive maintenance treatment to our roads
sure.
before we lose them to a lot of excessive cracking and rutting, etc. So by doing this, we can accomplish that 7 to 10 year service life extension and probably get to every one of our 800 miles of roads in about that 10-year interval or so.
That's
so it's very, very effective. It's so effective, we've committed through the support of our board in the equipment necessary to just perform the work in-house, because it really is just a preventive maintenance. It's not a construction work, per se.
Such a huge department.
Absolutely.
You have.
Yes, yes. And
unbelievable.
Our people are really the best at what they
right.
do.
We do have another phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, I haven't been raised in Southern California and moving out here 11 years ago. One thing I don't notice out here is what they're called POTS dots, little raised plastic discs they put wherever you used to stripe streets.
Oh, yeah.
And they're reflective on one side, so
yeah.
your headlights always see them.
Right.
How come they don't use them in Arizona?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm very familiar with the ceramic, and then it goes like four ceramic and then
right.
a plastic reflector.
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
brown.
I used to install those in my 20s in Vegas.
Right,
seriously.
Right.
Anyway, that's a good question. Why don't we use them here?
Well, we probably find that, by and large, it's the labor involved in installing them as well as maintaining them, they can get compromised from time to time, and then you have to go back and replace them. We instead kind of abide by a better than best practice approach to our striping. We actually stripe our roads by and large every single year.
Oh, wow.
And that's well in excess of the typical standard. We have our own striping truck, and we can just do it. So we find that that lends to a little bit more efficiency in maintaining our pavement markings versus a ceramic discs or other raised type of pavement markings. Because, as I pointed out in my earlier discussion with Paul on the chip sealing work, once you do a chip seal, you actually have to remove all them ceramic discs and everything.
Right.
With our chip seal work, we just chip seal right over the pavement markings, and our striping guys come in within a few weeks later.
Gets a little expensive. You got to get your striping guys here to have a suit.
Yeah,
I can't see any stripes anymore, so you don't know if you're in the right lane, wrong lane, or where the hell you are.
Well, I think we need to get ADOT here first. So, all right, appreciate the phone call. And we only have about 5 minutes left, and I really appreciate the phone calls from our listeners. Turn this into talk radio, not just listen radio.
That's important. It's,
as I said earlier, right?
Makes for the best show.
But you're not all about road maintenance, though, with Public Works. You have that the flood warning system. That I get all the emails from when it's storming outside, and you see the storms, especially in Golden Valley and Kingman, and that, and you have the flash flooding. Tell us about that system. How does that work with the alerts and the washes and that?
It's really one of the foremost weather warning systems in all of rural America. And I give all the credit to our flood control division. It's under Development Services Department, and my colleague Tim Walsh, the Development Services Director. But it's an awesome tool, not just for the public, because flood control maintains an actual web page dedicated to that system where anybody from the public can actually log in, go to a particular station and see what is being recorded, either precipitation-wise, the wash flow, maybe depths of flow in the wash, so they can get a really good first-hand feel for what is happening out there during a storm event. We use it regularly because we get alarm notifications by email.
Right.
So we know from a road response standpoint where the activity is and where we have to send our resources out to respond. Some of the winter rains, and the winter rains were quite excessive this year, a little bit higher than normal.
Absolutely.
A lot of them occurred in the Topak Golden Shores area, so when those alarms were triggered, our people were out. Yes, the roads, CR1, open highway, did take a little bit of an impact. When those washes run hard, it is going to deposit a lot of material and actually maybe even compromise the roadway in some areas. But our people are out there as soon as those alarms are coming out, sometimes even before, because they see the storm coming and they're responding. But I want to give flood control so much credit. That system has been in place for the better part of 20 years or so.
Really?
So
long?
It's been a long time in development, but it rivals just anything in the U.S. And the Weather Service, the National Weather Service, the Las Vegas office, actually takes a lot of good information from our very own system. They're linked into it as well. So a lot of their forecasts and warnings, they're drawing from that good information that flood control's alert weather warning system is generating. It's just incredible.
Yeah, and you actually sold it a little bit short. Because you were saying you can look at the numbers, the statistics, but there's also video.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And flood control actually installed cameras at some strategic locations, including one up on Walpine Mountain Road, which we'll take a look at during the snow and ice weather as well. But, yes, very very important for the public, because they can tune right into those cameras and get a real-time look at what's happening on the roadway.
How are those linked? Is that a satellite technology or UHF? What kind of technology are we talking about?
Oh, gosh, I wish I'd know exactly. But,
oh, I thought you were. Sorry about that.
It's largely, I just think through some radio communications.
Oh, okay.
All
right, perfect. Anything else you wanted to get out there before we let you go? There's only, about a minute left.
No, we are just going to continue going strong. Our focus, Paul, has always been on just the operation and maintenance of the roadway. So that preventive maintenance, the chip seals I spoke of, it's nothing glamorous, but our roads crews under Bob Compton, our road superintendent's leadership, they do an outstanding job. They're always responsive, always trying to put our best foot forward toward operation and maintenance. See, we receive all of our funding through an appropriation of the Arizona gas tax. So we like to reinvest as much as possible into the maintenance of the roadway.
People
are paying their gas tax. We want to give them as good of roadways as possible. And then we work on the side to try to get most of our larger improvement projects funded through federal funding. So there's some county matches that are sometimes involved, but that's kind of how we operate. So our our focus is on protecting what we already have, and so, I think we do a good job.
So quick, right off the top of your head, as a director,
yes,
what kind of budget are you in charge of annually?
Actually, our overall public works budget is about $50 million, but that includes all of our facilities and vehicles and everything. On the transportation side, we're at about $18 million or so.
Oh, my. So that's not a fun time of year to be in your office.
I wish it was more, though. We have 2,100 miles of roads to look after, but we do well with what we have.
Well, you just got $1 million more in that
Absolutely.
TAME grant. Congratulations again,
so much,
by the
Paul.
Way.
Steve Thanks for having me.
Steve Latosky, our guest, Mojave County Public Works Director. I'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. On tomorrow's show, District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. Love that hour, by the way. And don't forget, Ron is on the entire hour from 11 to 12. And let's see, going on this weekend in Lake Havasu City, there is the Life Jacket Exchange. The Mojave County Sheriff's Office Division of Boating Safety, in partnership with the Arizona Game and Fish Department, is hosting the Life Jacket Exchange Saturday starting at 10 a.m. and runs till 12 noon at the London Bridge Beach stage in Lake Havasu City. Exchange your worn, torn, or otherwise unserviceable life jacket for a new vest-style life jacket. And orange Type 2 life jackets will not be accepted as part of the exchange program. The jackets are exchanged on a first-come, first-served basis. MCSO says arrive early if you're going to take part in that program. All right, Hannity is next, preceded by Fox News. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.